Welcome to the Gabriel Method Seminar Archives. This program contains a collection of recordings, interviews, and public talks given by John Gabriel about the Gabriel Method, the diet-free way to totally transform your body. Since many of these talks were recorded live, there are moments when the recording quality is less than perfect. We appreciate your understanding.
This smart mode thing is really, I would love to ask you, how did you start doing smart mode?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of experience with meditation.
Right.
And with I've also had experience with visualization. But meditation is really getting into that smart mode state. It's getting into the alpha and theta state. And what I discovered when I put the two together, when you combine visualization with meditation, or when you combine visualization with getting into the alpha state,
yeah,
you've got a really, really powerful technique, because visualization is using your mind to create your life, but getting into smart mode is using a much more powerful mind to create your life. Because what they've discovered is that when we're talking in our normal consciousness state right now, it's called the beta state.
Right.
Our brain waves are scattered all over the place. But when we get into the alpha state, our brain waves become much more synchronous.
Yeah.
And the amplitude of the brain wave is actually much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is the actual power of your brain is 10 to 100 times more powerful when you're in that state. So when you're trying to create a positive habit, for example, or a positive belief, let's say you just want to believe that you're worthy. It's just a simple belief. Because some people, just as a child, you know, we get these associations like, you're a kid, you know, you shouldn't speak until you're spoken to, and just simple things. What do you know? You're just a kid. You develop this sort of feeling like maybe you're not worthy, or you don't have value. And you take that with you all your life. And it's like everything you do, it undermines everything you do. It's
yeah,
like you're driving with the emergency brake on, and it's just a simple thing that somebody said to you. So if you want to reprogram that to feel like you are worthy and you do deserve, you can say that over and over again, like, I deserve, I am worthy, I deserve good, through affirmations and things like that. And it's a little bit like every time you have a thought, it's like walking, it's in your brain, it's like walking on a path through the woods. So maybe the first time you walk through the woods, there's no path, and it's hard to find a path, and it takes a lot of effort. But
yeah,
then if you do that every single day, the path gets built. And that's the same way with beliefs. If you want to feel and believe that you're worthy, if you say it every single day, it's like a path. It all of a sudden, over time, it's been created. The thought pattern's been created, and you have a belief, and you really do believe that you're worthy. But the thing is, if you do it in smart mode, it's a little bit like taking a bulldozer through that path.
Yeah.
And you can bulldoze that path in one day or one sitting that might take you months or years of repeated effort to do in the future.
And for people that don't know exactly, you know, the practicality of applying this, is it just that tape?
Well, no. In the book, I talk about a really simple technique for getting into smart mode, which is you're sitting, and it's called spinning the spine. You just
that was
imagine.
The one I was hoping you would tell us about more.
Yeah. Okay, I can tell you. It's just you're sitting down with your back straight, and you imagine like a little ball of light spinning around your spine, and it starts at the first vertebrae, and it's you imagine it going around the first vertebrae maybe five times, then the second vertebrae, and there's 24 vertebrae, and as you're going up the spine, you're using like a positive clean energy to clean out all the blockages in your spine. And once you get to the top, you're in that alpha or theta state. And then once you're there, you can just imagine like just the words, I am worthy, going into your spine. Or you can imagine every cell of your body saying at the same time, I am worthy, I deserve, I am worthy. Every cell of your body doing that. And you're really programming on a cellular level. You're programming a belief into your body. And these beliefs make life so much easier, because you could have all the best things lined up for you in life, and if you just don't believe you're worthy, you're gonna undermine yourself.
Well, we see it over and over here in Hollywood, where I live, where they're amazing, you know, really talented people, and they have great careers, and it comes up from their childhood, they feel they're not worthy of it, and we watch them all, you know, self-destruct.
Right, and then there's other people that maybe they're not the most talented people in the world, but they're incredibly successful.
Absolutely.
And it's simply because they feel deserving, they feel worthy. I remember when I worked on Wall Street, you know, I dealt with thousands of people that were millionaires and some billionaires, and some of them were smart, some of them weren't, some of them were hardworking, some of them weren't, some of them came from money, some of them weren't. There was no defining characteristic that was similar to all of them, except one thing. They all had this feeling that they deserved.
Yes.
You know, I could call them up and say, you know, you just made $100,000, and they would say, okay, that's great. You know?
Right.
And if Madonna, for example, you told Madonna that she just made $1 million that day, she would say, okay, that's great. You know?
Right.
So it's not going to change her life. Whereas somebody else, they'd freak out and, oh my God, and am I worthy of it? And you know, and what am I going to do with it? And they get all nervous and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they just felt worthy and they just felt deserving. So having the belief of feeling worthy of good things in your life, feeling deserving, feeling worthy of a beautiful body, feeling deserving of being successful or worthy of love.
I agree with some of the scientists that say, you know, give me a kid till he's 7 and I'll own him forever. Do you believe that these beliefs, the I'm not worthy beliefs, the beliefs we don't deserve, are put in there very, very, very young?
Well, the reason why, let me just explain, the reason why they say until I'm 7 is because until you're 7, you spend most of your time in smart mode.
Right, right. I was hoping you would say that.
That's the point. So what I'm saying is now you've got the best of both worlds because
right.
You're an adult and you can get into, and if you learn how to get into smart mode yourself, you become really the master of your ship.
Yes.
Because you can then program whatever you want into whatever beliefs you want into your system. But yeah, you take a little kid and you reinforce. Like with my daughter, I remember we were playing miniature golf last weekend, and she did a really good shot. And I just said to her, "That's incredible! See how powerful you are. Just you know, when you set your mind to something, you can do it."
Wow!
And these are just little things that hopefully will stay with her for life.
Sure.
But it's so easy also with a kid to say, you know, shut up, what are you doing, da 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 da, and then you feel like, oh, you know, for the rest of their life they're gonna have image problems or something like that. But you can get into the state where you're as receptive as a 5-year-old.
Yes.
And then once you're in that state, you can charge yourself with whatever beliefs you want.
Yes.
Just getting into that state and then imagining every cell of your body saying, I am worthy. I am worthy of good things. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of a beautiful body. I
and
deserve.
Just like you said earlier, you know, for some people that is going to be a little weird at first and just got to keep doing it. You know, for some people that it just, you know, goes against everything they believe about themselves. So I love that imagery of, you know, it's a road less traveled, you know, never traveled for some people. And the doing of it is, you know, and what the beauty of this is, I just never saw a program that's like, I don't want to say passive, but I want to say it is indeed effortless, and it should
well,
be.
Yeah.
You know,
what it is it's working with your body's natural programming. It's working with, for example, with the fat programs, it's learning how to work with your body's fat programs as opposed to fighting it. You know, you fight it through dieting and all these things.
Well, you say weight loss, and right away it's denial. Right away it's
exactly.
Right away, all that. And this is so anti that. This is so amazing. You know, that.
Yeah.
And what's great is that this, you didn't just pull this out. Even if you researched all these things and they're all wonderful, they're all true, you actually walked this road. And that's what I find touching and deeply amazing. I just can't believe the transformation.
One of the biggest differences from when I started losing weight was I started visualizing every night as I was going to sleep. I had this visual image of exactly how I wanted to look. And one day I ended up looking like that. And I don't think that's a coincidence. And if you saw the picture of me before, which I probably really should have out here, but if you saw the picture of the way I looked before and someone said, you know, saw me visualizing the way I was going to look, and they would say I was crazy. But I did keep that image in my head, and eventually I was able to become that image. And I thought about why does visualization work so well? And visualization also works really well, they find, for cancer, you know, kids that have cancer, for all types of diseases. The chances of recovery are a lot better when you use your mind, when you use visualization. But with weight loss, what I figured out was that it's almost like it's a language that you're actually communicating to your body, to that part of your brain. You know, let's do it this way. Excuse my artistic ability. I'm not much of a drawer, but let's call this a person. Right. And this is our brain. And at the bottom of this brain, we've got this hypothalamus, which people call the animal brain. It's the same brain that we've had since we were mice. And it's right here. And when we're having stress, mental and emotional stress, it's all happening up here. It's conceptual. I'm going to be late, you know, I'm going to be late for work. He's going to come home drunk. Whatever it is, these are stresses that we're having up here. And that stress sending a signal here to our hypothalamus, a chemical signal. And the only thing our hypothalamus can do is the same thing it could do since we were mice. Speed up our heartbeat so we can run away from a tiger, or slow down our metabolism so that we can store food during a famine. That's all it can do. But all the time we're sending it signals all day long. We're not safe. Help, the stock market went down. I'm getting beaten up. My boss hates me. He just didn't call. All day long. You know, this is what's happening. We're sending signals, and it's reacting with the only programs that it has to react to. One of them is to run away. And interestingly, if you look at it this way, one of them is to run away from a tiger, right? That's a program. It's called the fight or flight response. Everybody's heard of it. A tiger jumps out of the woods, and we run. And all this energy goes to our muscles and all this stuff. Well, something happens when the fight or flight response happens. Your body does two things, three things. It interprets the stress, it reacts, and it adapts, IRA. So it interprets the stress. A tiger's chasing me. It reacts. Run like hell. It adapts. How does it adapt? Get thinner. So that the next time a tiger's chasing you, you can outrun it. Or run faster than the guy next to you. What's that?
We won't have much for it to eat.
Yeah. So that's if you look at what scientists say we have a set point in our body. And a set point is like your body decides that you need to be 80 kilograms based on this set point. So if you go over 80 kilograms, you're just not as hungry anymore until you go back to 80 kilograms. If you force yourself to be less than 80 kilograms, then you're hungry all the time because your fat programs go on until you're 80 kilograms again. Well, how does it come up with 80 kilograms? It's programming. So one of the things it'll do is if you're being chased by a tiger all the time, it'll say, we need to be 60 kilograms. And that'll be your subhormonal shift to 60 kilograms. Because we need to be light and fast and strong. If you're in a famine all the time, your body will say, we need to be 100 kilograms. So it'll shift to 100 kilograms. And that'll be your set point. And so all through history, before we had controlled environments and unlimited food and all that stuff, your body had to decide how much it was going to be for your survival's sake. You don't want to be so fat that you can't run away from a tiger, and you don't want to be so thin that you can't survive a famine. So if your living environment has lots of famines, it's going to shift you toward being fatter. If it has lots of tigers, it's going to shift you toward being thinner. This is our programming. This is our set point, and this is how it gets shifted. We're having stress all day, and that's shifting our set point, just because that's our programming. So something happens, and boom. Your body says, is that a tiger? Is that a famine? Do I get fatter? Do I get thinner? And this is going on all the time, and we don't understand it. But if there's a way that your conceptual brain could communicate with your hypothalamus to say that, no, don't activate the fat programs. We don't need to be fat. If you could do that, theoretically, and I know this is going out on a limb, but I got to tell you, when I was losing weight, I just didn't rely on what was known. I didn't want to wait for science to catch up. I had a very open mind, and I figured that I'd try everything, and if it worked, then great. If not, then I'm an idiot. Okay, but so I kept a very open mind. So what I'm saying is really out there stuff, I know. But just bear with me, because I think that there's something to it from my own experience and from other people's experience. If you could talk to your hypothalamus and say, I want to be thin. I want to be 80 kilograms, not 100 kilograms. It would just set the dial. It would say, oh, you don't want to be 100? Okay, we'll make it 80. Because it's in total control of your set points. Well, what I've discovered, or what I believe, and I can't prove it, I know, but I think it's worth a try, so that's why I'm going out and putting it out there, is that visualization is a mechanism to communicate with your hypothalamus, because your hypothalamus doesn't understand English or logic, or you can't say, I want to look good because I want to fit into a dress for my best friend's wedding next spring. You know, it doesn't know what a dress is, it doesn't know what a wedding is, it doesn't know what next spring is, it doesn't know what a girlfriend is, it doesn't know what any of those things are. So what do you do when you have to communicate with someone that doesn't speak your language? Use symbols. You guys were here last week. You know, if you're in a foreign country, for those of you that weren't here, and you have to go to the bathroom, what do? You can ask 100 people where the bathroom is, and you can scream at them. And they won't know. They won't know what you're talking about. And you can do the same thing with your body. I want to be thin. I want to be thin. Screw you. And your body doesn't understand. But the second you just draw a picture of a toilet on a table napkin and show it to anybody, instantly they'll tell you where the bathroom is. And they'll say, over there. Well, I really believe, and I know it sounds crazy, and I don't care, because I really believe it. I really believe that when you make a visual image of your body, it's like a symbol. And symbols are the universal language that everyone can use to communicate. So it's almost just it's a language that you can use to communicate with yourself. Because that's the real problem. That's the real problem, is we don't know how to talk to ourselves. We don't know how to talk to the different levels of our brain. Our conceptual brain doesn't know how to talk to our hypothalamus. So I think it's true because I made this visual image. And I just would do it every night for 30 seconds as I was going to sleep. And eventually it worked for me. And the people that my approach has worked the best with, I ask them, what did they do? They say, I visualize, you know. I had one lady call me last month, and she's really the first person that I had given the book to, because the book wasn't done yet. It was January, or it had just been finished. And she saw me on A Current Affair a year or two before, and she was calling, is the book done? Is the book done? No, it just took forever to write that book. So finally, I had a draft of it. I sent it to her in January, and she just called me in August, and she said that she was 69 years old, and she was, what did she say? I don't know with pounds. Let me just think. I mean with kilos. I'm still trying to. I just can't do it. Anyway, the bottom line is she had lost 60 kilos over the last 9 months. And she had really bad type 2 diabetes. Her blood sugar was 19, which is like nerve damage, and it went down to 6. And I'm going to get an interview with her. She lives in Melbourne, so someone's going to interview her. Because the approach, as I said, type 2 diabetes is when metabolic syndrome gets really, really bad, it becomes type 2 diabetes, but it's just the starvation response. So she was able to turn off that starvation response, and I asked her, what do you do? What did you do? She said, I always believed in visualization. I know it works for me and other things, and I really applied visualization, and that's what she did. And then the people that they were here last week, I had a girl here named Chantel who's 14 years old who's lost 20 kilos over the last couple of months. And she hasn't read the book. All she does is listen to the CD. And the CD prompts you to visualize. So I'm saying something that I know sounds ridiculous, right? I'm in front of 100 people, and you've paid all this money, and here I am telling you that visualization is a way to communicate with your own brain, and if you do that, your fat programs will go off. I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what I know in my heart also. And who knows? who knows what power we have, you know, in our minds, because all these things like The Secret, they talk about how you can create everything in your life with the power of your mind. Who knows? I found that it helps me in other areas of life, and we'll talk about that later today about how to apply it in other areas. But the worst case scenario is that as you're going to sleep at night, you're visualizing the way you'd like to look. That's the worst case. So if I'm absolutely wrong, and I'm an idiot, you know, that's the worst case. There's no side effect. All you're doing is spending 5 minutes visualizing. And you get better at visualizing. So if all that other stuff is true, that you can create wealth and abundance and a new job and everything you want, you get better and better at it anyway. So it's only strengthening that muscle, that ability to visualize. So that's your worst case, is you get better at visualizing. It's your worst case scenario. And I know it sounds ridiculous. That's what I know in my heart. So there's two strategies. One is feeling safer, and the other is reprogramming the association. So the first thing I want to talk about is just strategies for feeling safer. And by the way, that's really why I made one of the reasons why I made the visualization CD. What I've tried to do in the visualization CD is really incorporate all of it. Get you to create a visual image of how you'd like to look when you're in a very programmable state, what I call smart mode, which is when your mind is really in a very focused and powerful mode. But I also make suggestions all along about feeling safe and about all the other issues that I talk about here. So hopefully, just by listening to the CD, you can get a lot of it. Yes.
I have the CD, and I've had it for about 2 weeks. So, how am I getting the benefit?
You're getting all of it.
Am I?
You're getting it all, even deeper.
No, I wake up when the CD player goes.
Yeah.
When it finishes.
Yeah. Who knows what I'm saying, huh? Could be saying anything, right? Yeah, well, it's there.
And no, it's okay.
It's actually even more effective, believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah. The CD has a. What it is you've got this state. Before you go to sleep, you go. Consciousness researchers talk about different brainwave states. Like when we're talking now, we're in what's called the beta state, where our brain is giving off certain cycles per second, which is somewhere between 15 and 30 or more cycles per second. As you go to sleep at night, you go into the alpha and the theta and the delta. They're much more powerful states. And you can learn how to get into them when you're awake and use that to reprogram yourself. You see, infants spend most of their time in the theta state. And that's why they're so impressionable. And children spend their time in the alpha state most of their time. And that's why something that happens to you when you're a kid stays for life. Just one little thing that happens. Like I had this friend who used to come over my house and I would always make food for him. And he would never eat the food. And I started noticing this. I notice these things. I'm an empath, right, or whatever. I'm always noticing these things. And I would make a point of making something nice when I knew he was coming over. And he'd make an excuse to say, "Oh, it's Ramadan, you know, and he's not a Muslim, you know." So finally, I said to him, "Why don't you ever eat anything that I cook for you? I'm a good cook." And he said that when he was 10 years old, a friend of his made a sandwich, and he spit in it. Didn't tell him. Yeah. And then for 30 years, he's never, ever been able to eat anything that a friend of his has made. That's because when an association happens when you're a child, because you're naturally in that alpha state, it sticks. And then it's also about just programming in terms of mental type of things, which we'll talk about later. But I read this story about this lady another lady who's a self-made billionaire. And she said when she was a kid, she came home after taking an aptitude test, and she said to her mother, "Guess what, Mom, they say that I could be a good telephone operator." And her mom said, "That's great, dear. Maybe someday you'll own the phone company." Just one little passing comment. When you're a kid, And now she's a billionaire. Whereas if, you know, they said, oh, you never amount to, you'll never be a phone operator, she probably wouldn't have made a phone operator. We're so programmable as children. But you can get back into that state, and you can use it to reprogram yourself. So in the CD, it does bring you into that state. And when you go to sleep, you're getting into that state. And the reason why you're falling asleep is you're getting into that state, and it's working perfectly well. So, yeah, it does work. But I've discovered a couple of different therapy techniques that sound a little bit crazy, but I would recommend for someone that's in that state and that has this sort of feeling where that they need to be, that the weight's making them feel a little bit safer. One of them is called core energetics. Have you ever heard of that? Anybody? Core energetics? No? Yes? You're saying no, you haven't heard of it? Yeah. Core energetics, what it does is it gets you into that state where you release all of the pain from your childhood or from the event, where they have you, like, they give you a baseball bat and a pillow and you whack it, and, you know, you're getting into a physical state, and you're getting into that place where you were. It's a primal state. So they say they're getting you into the limbic state, which is the limbic brain is your emotional brain, and that's where this pain is housed. So even though we spend most of our time in our mental brain, in our cortex, and we're trying to talk through the issues, but you need to access that limbic brain. And so you get into a physical place where you're hitting things. And then they do all kinds of other things like regression therapy, which I think is a really good technique too, if it's done right, where you'll work with a hypnotist. And a good core energetics person can do this for you too, where you go back into that state, into that alpha and theta state where the memories are housed, and work through the issues. Those are good techniques for dealing with this issue. And I just want to stress one more time that if you do have this type of issue, it has to be addressed. All this other stuff will help undo the damage, but you have to keep going with it until it's done. It's just the way it is. I wish it was different. And sometimes it happens really quickly with people. Even if it's a lifetime issue, it just clicks. And it's done. And then that's the most incredible thing, because their body doesn't feel like it needs the weight anymore. So it can happen really quickly. So core energetics. I recently read, and I know I have a tendency to go way out there, but I recently read about a therapy that seems to get really good results called soul retrieval. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Anyone ever heard of soul retrieval? You've heard of it. I really think there's something to it from what I was reading and from people that have tried it. What happens, they say, and this is a shamanic type of healing. You know, South Americans and indigenous shamans do this technique called soul retrieval. What they say is that if you're a kid, for example, and you're living in a really abusive situation that's intolerable, there's like a part of your soul that just says, you know what, I'm out of here. This is too much for me. And I know that sounds a little bit strange, and maybe you can just look at it as a part of your energy that left. I don't know, but there's a part of you that just says, this is too much for me. And we all know that feeling. Well, those of us that have been in that situation know that feeling where we sort of check out. I don't know if any of you have been in that situation, but I have been in that situation where I felt like, you know, you close your eyes and you check out. Well, what they say is that part of you that just says it's too much, I'm out of here, that part of you has to be integrated. And there's a really good therapist that I discovered in Denmark who called me after reading my book. Her name's Christine Diamond, and she comes up to Perth a lot. And if anybody's interested, I can get you her number. She does something similar to soul retrieval where she's a hypnotherapist that takes you back to when you were that kid and helps you reintegrate that part of you. However you want to conceptualize what that part of you is that just feels like it's too much, it has to be reintegrated. And until it's reintegrated, you don't have, you know, you don't have the issues worked through. So if anybody's interested, you can either email me or talk to me after. Well, I don't have the number here, but you can email me and I can get you Christine's number. Now, as you know, I look at emotions on an energetic level. So there's things you can do on an energetic level to try to feel safer when you're in that situation. And there's ways of channeling emotions on an energetic level, which I think are really, really effective, which I'll share with you. I learned this from a lady named Kathleen McLaren. She has a CD set called Emotional Genius. And what she says is that emotions are energies that need to be channeled through your body. And that really goes a lot with what I've discovered and what Chinese medicine says, that emotions are energies that if they don't go through your body, they get stuck in your body, and that's the devitalization happens, and all those things happen. So she says that, and she was really abused as a kid also, and she appears to be very healthy now and well-adjusted. But she says that when you have emotions, you shouldn't repress them because that's just creating a blockage. You shouldn't act on them because that's just perpetuating the problem. You should channel them on an energetic level. And I have tried this technique, not for weight loss because I just discovered it 2 years ago, but I did start doing it when my wife and I separated because that was a really devastating experience for me and I had a lot of issues with that, and that's when I discovered this. And so I would do her technique, and I just want to share it with you. I want to share some of these energetic techniques because I always feel like if there's some way that you can do it on a mental level, you know, through visualization, then why not put your mind to use in a way that it can help you help benefit you? So so what she does is, we're not going to do it. Those of you that want to follow me can follow me, but just do it a little bit differently. When you're at home and you have space, you can imagine that you have this sort of energy, like an aura or a field of energy around you that's about this far away, from you, this far high, and this far out. Just this covering, and you feel this energy covering you, this surrounding you. And then you think of the issue that has caused you pain. And you let the emotion come out. And usually it starts as an anger, because anger is a protection mechanism. And anger is always about defining your boundaries. I mean, if you look at what wars are always about boundary, and they're always anger. And so usually, at least for me, it came out as anger. And she says that you just imagine it coming out of some part of your body, and for me it was the liver, or this area of my body. I just imagined this fire coming out of my body. And she said to let this fire just set your aura on fire and strengthen your aura and let it all go out of your body into this aura and really use that to strengthen your aura. And you can just for a moment pretend that your aura is on fire and being strengthened. And what that does is it gets rid of the emotion on an energetic level. It actually channels the energy out of you so that your energy channels are flowing again. And it helps strengthen the boundaries on an energetic level so that you don't need the weight anymore as a boundary. Because that's the real issue that I find with myself and with other people that have had emotional obesity and emotional abuse. They're boundaries. That's why weight's protecting you. You don't feel safe and your weight's protecting you by defining your boundaries. You can define your boundaries on an energetic level, and it's like you're using your mental energy and your emotional energy as a tool to define your boundaries. And then you feel safer. So let's just try this. If you could just stand up and just move your seats. Let's create more space in the room. All right, so let's just try this. Let's just try this technique. And again, if nothing else, these things make you calmer and they help you feel better. So that's the worst-case scenario with this type of thing. So, all right. So just imagine that you've got this energy around you that's this far around you, like a big egg. It's your energy. It's this high up. It's this far around you, and it goes one hand down into the ground. Just this big egg that's protecting you. Okay? And now I just want you to just, if you just maybe be in this state where, remember when you were bringing energy up from the ground? Just breathe energy up from the ground, because that'll make you grounded and make you feel good. So just breathe energy up from the ground. Take. And then exhale it. Okay, now you're in this sort of safe place. It's like a cocoon of energy that's protecting you. And if you just can imagine a situation that maybe made you uncomfortable, it could have been at work, it could have been when you're 3 years old, whatever, it could have been something that happened between you and your partner, but just something that made you angry. Just something that made you angry. And just imagine that for a second. Yeah, and then that's it. And then just imagine that that anger is somewhere in your body, some kind of color. Maybe it's dark blue or something. Yeah. And just imagine it coming out of that part of your body and traveling to your aura, to the outside of your aura. Just let it out. Let it travel to the outside of your aura. Let it all come out. And then just let it come out as fire to the outside of your aura. And just imagine, as that's coming out, that your aura is just being set on fire. And as it's being set on fire, it's being defined. Almost like when you melt metal, it becomes steel. Your aura is like steel. It's like a steel protection of fire. Fire and steel just protecting you. And all of that energy is just going out and just being burned up on the outside of your aura. And it's just making you stronger on an energetic level so that nobody can penetrate your boundaries. Feel that for a second. Feel that you're in a space right now where nobody can penetrate your boundaries. You might even feel a difference. I feel a difference in some of you right now. Where I feel like I can't go in, even with my feelings. Your boundaries are solid, and that energy has all come out. And it's just channeled into making you as safe as possible. It's channeled into protecting you. And then after you're done, just breathe some positive energy from the sun or from the heaven, you know, from the sky into your navel again. Just breathe some positive energy in. Let it fill your whole body with positive light. Just imagine light, white light, your whole body being filled with light. A solid boundary. Yeah, you're reinforcing. Does anybody feel any different? Does anybody feel any kind of difference as far as, first of all, emotionally any different?
Reassured.
Assured. Reassured. Yeah. Calmer. So if nothing else, it makes you feel calm. But I can tell you, does anybody feel safer? Yeah. Stronger, more confident, safer? You are. You have just used the power of your mind to make you stronger. You have energetically created strength around you. And you know that nobody can penetrate that if you don't want them to. And anytime you're in a situation where you feel like somebody's stepping on your territory mentally or emotionally, because usually it just happens on a mental and emotional level now when you're adults, but it can still happen physically. But when that's happening, someone's getting into your headspace, you can just create this barrier just in a second. Solid steel, if you want it. And you're addressing the real issue on an energetic level. You're feeling safer so that your body no longer feels like it needs the weight to do, because that's what the weight was doing. The weight was doing that. But what I find is it does two things. One is it gets rid of the emotional energy. And two is it really uses the power of your mind to create safety, a feeling of safety. And it's a tool you can use. You can just, in an instant, whenever you're feeling the emotion, it can happen, and then boom, you can put this on. And you don't have to have it on all the time. You don't have to have this steel on all the time, but there's times when you want to be protected. And when you do, it's a technique. It's a really powerful one. But why does visualization work so well? I thought a lot about this. And so remember when I was talking about how your body is interpreting the stress? Visualization is a way to communicate with your body. Because your body doesn't really speak English, doesn't understand. You say, I want to lose 20 pounds to look good for my friend's wedding so I can fit in a wedding dress in 6 months. Your body doesn't understand 6 months. It doesn't understand a wedding. It doesn't understand a wedding dress. It doesn't understand looking good. It doesn't understand English. It doesn't communicate in English. But you can communicate with anyone with symbols. You know, the same way when you're in an airport and it's got the picture for the toilet, you can speak any language and know that that's a toilet. It's a symbol. When you make a visual image, you're communicating with the consciousness of your body in symbols. And when you do it in like an alpha or a theta state, which the CD that I have puts you in, that's alpha and theta state, when you do it in that state, your brain's much more powerful. You know, because studies have shown the amplitude of your brain waves is more synchronous and it's higher, and based on all the chemical formulas for electricity and volts, it's like 1,000 times more powerful in the theta state. So the CD puts you in that theta state and prompts you to make a visual image. And I was able to do that anyway because I used to do a lot of meditation. So I'd go into that state and I'd create that visual image. And a lot of people talk about Deepak Chopra in his book, Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, talks about the law of pure potentiality and the law of intention. And he says, if you take an intention into the field of pure potentiality, you're able to manifest anything. And you get into that field of pure potentiality when your thinking stops. When your mind stops, you're in that field of pure potentiality. And the intention is the visualization. And one other way, like I said, I thought a lot about it. So one other analogy is if you're looking at a pool of water and you see, and there's no ripples, you can see your reflection perfectly. The second there's a ripple, it's all distorted. So our thoughts are like ripples in our mind-body experience. So when you have no thoughts and you make that visual image, your body understands that. And you can feel a difference. Sometimes I still, when I make a visual, I can feel like this thing that happens. It's like a ripple that happens through my body. It's almost like the cells are being reprogrammed. You can feel this. So I tell everybody to make a visual image. So if there's any like program, because it's not a diet or approach, but if there's any program that I have, it's one, adding everything that you're missing and addressing things like sleep apnea and things like that. The other is visualization. And you can use visualization for other things, for weight loss, which I did do. For example, you can use visualization to help eliminate food cravings. And Carol, it's really funny that you're here, because when I was 12 years old, I remember serving you a cup of coffee, and you didn't want sugar in it. And I said, how can you have coffee without sugar? That's disgusting. And she goes, well, I never eat sugar anymore. I can't stand the sight of sugar. I hate sugar. I go, why? And she said, well, what I used to do is I used to visualize sugar being ground glass. Ground glass.
That's harsh.
You did do this, though.
I know, that's a very harsh.
It has to be harsh, though, because it creates a visceral experience in your body. Because, again, your body doesn't understand the difference between real and imagined experiences, and you can take advantage of that.
This program, in its entirety, is owned by the Gabriel Method PTY Limited and is protected under international copyright law. Kindly do not reproduce, copy, or use these contents for anything other than personal use without written permission.